Welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school, and today I'm in the podcast studio with Abby Roberts, director of college counseling at Macaulay. Abby's been with us since 1999 and in the college counseling office the last 10 years, doing great work and so many interesting trends and such a challenging time, I think, to be in college guidance. I'm happy to talk with you about some of those trends and how we approach that work at Macaulay.
Fantastically. I'm looking forward to this conversation today. And there, you are right, there is a lot going on, a lot of news out there.
Yeah, and speaking of news, I saw in the New York Times just in the last week or so, our alma mater, both Abby and I went to Dartmouth, an article about how Dartmouth is bringing back the SAT as a requirement, where you know, a number of schools dropped that for a number of years. It seems like just about every week there's a story in the news, whether it's about testing, whether it's about the Supreme Court decision last summer about race, whether it's about FAFSA and delays there and so forth. There's a lot of, you've got a lot of complexities and a lot of sort of moving parts and trends.
That's absolutely truly. One leader in the admissions world described this year as perhaps the biggest year of change in the history of college admissions. Well, I can't verify that that's true or not. What I can say is that we've had a lot of things to keep up with, which on one hand is exciting and frankly makes it fun. On the other hand, introducing a lot of unknown variables to the process certainly is something that we want to keep tabs on because people do read the headlines. People do want to understand how those things impact their family and their decision and the decision of their son when he applies and makes a choice about college.
Well, what are some of the things, these big changes that are occurring right now? So the landscape maybe beneath our feet is shifting and so forth. And what are the big changes and the trends and so forth that you're seeing?
So the major changes this year that are taking place include the first year of college admissions after the Supreme Court decision in SFFA versus UNC and SFFA versus Harvard University. So that ended effectively race-based admission in the college decision process, that is decisions about applications themselves. Other big changes include the first year of the updated FAFSA, that is the Federal Application for Student Aid. So that was rolled out this year in early January, which is in contrast to what we have become used to in recent years, which is the ability to do it in October. So that new form, which does simplify things, this year has created a lot of delays and a lot of concern on the part of families and colleges about that financial aid application being final at the point when they're ready to make a decision. A third thing that's really going on this year is in an environment of uncertainty with standardized testing, with many places being test optional, there's been a lot of places that have seen a significant increase in the number of applications that they've received. So among other things, all of those news stories combined to make for a very interesting year with a lot of introducing of uncertainty into the system.
Well, and how does that, as you think about what Macaulay's philosophy is of college counseling, talk about what our philosophy is and then how that informs how we go about and then how these trends are impacting us.
Great question. So the bottom line for us that it is all about fit. And what that comes from is a genuine belief on the part of our office in line with the mission and the vision of the school, which is that finding the best college fit ultimately is a decision that happens that is a result of a serious inquiry into one's own values, one's character, and the ways in which one's communities have impacted them and how they've had an impact on those around them. So that the decision about where to go to school and how to continue that tradition, how to continue that trajectory of one's life, is a natural outgrowth of how one's own character values have manifested themselves so far and where one hopes to go with that. So there's a wonderful, in the midst of a lot of change, there is a great stability there. That's always been what Macaulay is about in terms of helping guys find that best fit for their first steps outside of Macaulay to continue the foundation of values that they've had here and to continue on that journey to find what their future path looks like. Yeah. And fundamentally what that is finding a way to have one's character and values that have already begun to manifest themselves here at Macaulay, manifest themselves in the larger world, and inform that first choice about what happens in life after Macaulay.
And speaking of fit, I think that's so important. And I think one statistic that I think really shows that is I think we typically have boys go to about 80 different colleges from a senior class of 180, 190. Now this year's senior class is even larger then I think our largest ever senior class, 196.
We had the largest ever senior class when we started the year and still do. We're proud to say that last year we did hit triple digits. So we did have 100 different schools represented in the college list last year.
That's remarkable and so different from when I was at Macaulay and Cleve Latham was doing the college counseling. And Cleve did a great job and a terrific process. But I think back then they were just, I think students here and other places looked and didn't look as broad a range of schools.
That's absolutely true. So we have, we're in the process of consolidating data that we have from over the years. So I was looking at a folder of data that we have actually from the mid to late 80s, early 90s. The list of schools to which students applied was varied, was broad, and also, as you mentioned, was largely concentrated in the greater Southeast. And our student population now comes from all over the country and all over the world. That means they're bringing with them perhaps different experiences and different connections in different places. Maybe a different interest in going to school, say, in the upper Midwest, or considering options back in their home country as well as studying in the United States. So that diversity of experiences that our students are now bringing to campus from many, many different quarters of the U.S. and the world informs not just the decisions that they're making, but maybe the conversations they're having with friends, or that network and that connection that is deeper and broader, I would suggest, than it has been ever in the past.
Seems like also compared to years ago, there's more students are approaching, you're thinking about early decision, early action. We've always had that, but there seems to be more of that. And talk about how that's changed and sort of the thought process and strategy behind when you apply.
Got it. That's a great question. This year, about 85% of our class had applied to at least one school, either binding early decision or through an early action program by November 1st. That's a trend that has pushed everything in the process a lot earlier. In the past, it may have been that a handful of students may have applied to a binding early decision program, and the large majority of applications were filed in early January for regular decision. That model has pretty much completely blown up. The timeline is all over the place. There are schools that will accept applications as early as August before senior year, and schools that right now are very much still open for applications. And students are receiving decisions either sometimes on a rolling basis, sometimes as a result of early action. When we look at the timeline in 2023-24, what we see is that deadlines for both submitting applications and notification dates from colleges are really all over the place. So you may have students submitting an application in November and finding out a result in late January. You may have students submitting an application in mid-October and finding out their decision within several weeks, and everywhere in between, both before and after that. So it becomes a bit of an interesting landscape in that there is still the sense that the large majority of students are working on getting their applications done and submitted sometime between mid-October and early January. And at the same time, they could be getting decisions from colleges and finding themselves having to make a decision about their forward path at any point in that timeline as well. So again, a lot of interesting things happening at a lot of interesting times.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was walking to lunch today and walking alongside a senior, I was asking him about his, thought process and so forth beyond Macaulay, and essentially he said he's a finalist for a scholarship at a school in Texas. He's going out there relatively soon for several days of interviews. He's waiting to hear from an honors college at a large state university, and he has an application into one of the service academies, and he's not sure when he's gonna hear from that. He may have to make some decisions about some of those other schools before he even hears there. So just an interesting sort of range of different schools and options that he is looking into.
Yes, absolutely. And I know when he hears the podcast, he'll know that both of us know exactly who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But that is reflective of the range of options that the guys pursue. So it may be as wildly different on the surface as a service academy or high-level scholarship at a private university to study a specific thing for a specific reason. But we feel really excited about the opportunities we have here to support the guys in having those very diverse options available to them.
I know it can depend from university to university, but in general, what are some of the characteristics that selective colleges are looking for in applicants from Macaulay and other schools like us?
The single most important factor when it comes to admission to a college or university is academic preparation. So you can look at the common data set is where colleges report information to a national database, and then you can look at that data and see what did they say was important or not in their factor as they were factoring in their decisions. And the single most important factor is academic preparation. So that means the rigor of courses taken, the way how the students did in that course schedule that they took on, what did that student choose as a productive challenge in the classroom, and then how did they rise to it, is the single most important factor in consideration for admission to a college. And then, of course, there are a whole lot of other institutionally set priorities around how they make decisions. That may include standardized testing. It may not include standardized testing at this point in time. The University of California system is completely test-free. They will not consider them at all, even if you wanted to send them. They won't add them to your file. So there are a wide, wide variety of considerations. Some schools are going to look at things that are of specific interest to them, the way they want to build their college community, the kind of community they want to have, and the way they want to bring in students together from many different backgrounds to have a robust and vibrant conversation on campus between people that are different and different in interesting ways. You have schools also that may consider likelihood to enroll, also known as demonstrated interest in the business. So schools, when they're thinking about these large numbers of applications they have, making decisions based to a certain degree, some of them, on whether or not a student is likely to accept the offer of admission. So how we navigate all those different factors, the two words that sum it up is really, it depends. It depends. Right. What is the college looking for? Well, it depends. There are some common features and some common factors. And then we are really equipped very well here and supported very well by the school to be able to travel to conferences, to be able to visit with our college representatives who come visit us on campus. And that's usually over 125 different visits a year. So we have a wide variety of institutions engaging with us and engaging with our boys. And staying current with what's happening at those colleges with admissions is really important to being able to do quality work.
Yeah, it's so valuable that you have this network of all these, you know, college counselors that you know, and they know Macaulay. And talk about sort of perception of Macaulay among the colleges where our boys apply and matriculate.
Well, this one's going to sound funny because it's going to sound as if like I'm making it up, but I didn't. So I did hear one year a couple of things from college admissions folks this year that were really encouraging and heartwarming to hear, to know that that reputation of Macaulay guys that was created so long ago is still very alive and well. And we ask our guys in the process to be the custodians of the culture in the best possible way. In other words, to make sure that the things that were done before them to lay the groundwork for them to make a good impression out there in the world to folks that maybe haven't spent much time here, or folks that get to visit here once and then are reading a file later in their office. So one of my favorite stories recently is how a college admissions officer that we brought to campus to do a session with our guys. He did one of the sessions on navigating financial aid and scholarships. And after the day was over and I asked him how everything had gone and how did the sessions go that he was in. And what he said was Macaulay students asked better questions about financial aid and scholarships than most groups of parents that he presents to, which did really reinforce that the guys are doing their homework. They're getting out there. They're asking important questions that need to be asked and doing so in a way that reflects the thoughtfulness that they take and that they approach the search with. Another one that we heard this year, we heard from an admissions officer at a highly selective school in the Northeast that was reading early decision applications. And not only was the student admitted, but they reached out separately to say to us that the supporting documents were among the strongest they'd seen in their career. So that makes us really feel confident about what's happening in our office and, you know, what we've learned, what I've learned from those that came before me, including Cleve, including Steve, including Jeff. You know, I didn't know Warren James, but I would suppose that that's in the long tradition too. But there's a long tradition in the office of Macaulay College Counseling to support students in really knowing who they are and what's important to them and how they've been important to those around them, and to convey that in the school recommendation.
Abby just referenced several legends in Macaulay history who've worked in the college counseling department. Of course, Cleve Latham and Steve Bartlett, Steve George, Warren James, all these were great, and others too, members of the college counseling department here over the years. Abby, talk a little bit about the role that financial aid and scholarships play in decision-making today and how students go about that process, and then even how that may be different than a decade ago.
The landscape of financial aid and scholarships is different than it's ever been. There is not a shortage of news articles about the rising college costs, about colleges that are having a hard time making their budget, about how college costs impacts everything from the choice about where a student may go to college, how much scholarship they might qualify for, whether that's a need-based package or merit-based package. So when I think about how scholarships and financial aid affect the process and affect a student's process and eventual choice, one of the biggest things that that is different is that it used to be more possible to say, I'm just going to apply and see where I get in and see what kind of financial aid packages or scholarship packages I get, and then make my decision in March and April when I have everything on the table. That's not really the landscape anymore, because on the front end now, it's possible to do your homework and see exactly how much financial aid or merit scholarship you might qualify at each individual college and university, because it's required by law that each college has what's called a net price calculator on their website. So you can go online to any college and do the financial aid calculation to see what are my costs going to look like? What's the likely range of costs for me and my family if I go through to this option? So with the net price calculators and with the ability to do one's homework on the front end, the conversation about affordability and about cost and value happens in families much, much earlier than perhaps it did in the past, and happens a lot more openly than it did in the past. So it is no longer the case that one just says, I'll apply to a bunch of places that I like and see, compare things and see what happens come spring. When I hear someone say that now, I gently educate them about how things are different. In other words, say, hey, these are things you can do now to figure that out and have that conversation, because it's a lot of work to apply to college on the part of your son. He's going to be doing a lot of work to keep up with all of the details about not just his applications, but communicating with colleges, logging into those portals to complete all of the things that he needs to do from start to finish of that process. So it's a really good idea to know that the time he's investing, the time and work he's investing, are going to pay off in having options that are financially viable, and also are going to meet that family's assessment of cost and value when they think about what happens when he heads off after Macaulay. For many families, there's also a consideration about what happens after one's undergraduate degree. For most folks, there is a thought that something happens after that, whether it's professional school, graduate school, further professional training that will take one forward in one's career. So it's really important to weigh the costs of undergrad versus grad school. And for many families, thinking about where is that investment going to serve their son best to help him move forward in life.
As we record this, it's early February. And so we're, I guess, the middle of the kind of college season, so to speak, with decisions and so forth. What are some of sort of the early returns this year, some things that you're seeing in the where our boys have applied and acceptances and so forth? Kind of, you know, what's it looking like sort of mid-year?
Okay, so let me give you the picture, Lee, mid-year of where things are right now. So we have about 40 students in the class of 2024 that have told us, or that we know have made a final decision about where they're going to go. Here's just a sampling of a few of those schools that cover a wide range of geography, including Bellarmine University, Georgetown University, Brown University, Wesleyan University, Charleston Southern University, Belmont, Alabama, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Syracuse, Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, Maryland, and the list goes on. So we have a very, very broad list. Looking forward to another year of many schools represented by Macaulay guys as they head off into their next steps.
You know, one of the things I hear in talking to parents and sometimes alums is just how much more competitive it is to get into colleges. It can be overwhelming. And even, you know, state universities and so forth that a generation ago or so people didn't think of as being as competitive in terms of getting in as they are now, that's very different. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So it is true that the landscape of admissions is very different than it was a generation ago. And so when we talk about this, I like to keep in mind that there's a flip side of the coin as well. So I'm going to say that first, and then we can talk about the hard part. So the great side of this is that there's many, many more opportunities than there were a generation ago. So schools that have had to rapidly redefine themselves in a changing environment have done so. And schools that were more commuter driven 25 or 30 years ago now have beautiful dorms that are new that were built in the last 5, 10, maybe 15 years. So you have schools that are competing in that marketplace as well for students. And as some schools have not increased the size of their campuses, many other schools have looked at that opportunity as an opportunity for them for growth and for distinction and for really being proud of the things they do and do well, and have made that opportunity available to students. So it is true that the landscape of college admissions is very different than a generation ago. One of the things we have to keep in mind is that students should not step back from entering into that competitive fray. It is okay to take a risk. It's okay to apply somewhere where it's a bit of a reach and to do your absolute best to be as competitive as possible in that field. And at the same time, we want guys to have, if you like the metaphor, a balanced portfolio of the places that they're applying so that they know that top to bottom of their list, no matter the cost of attendance, the distance from home, the programs available, the places that they choose to invest in and apply to are going to yield them the sort of opportunities that they and their families are most interested in having. Whether or not we can specifically predict the outcome of where they are admitted or not, we know that they've done everything they can to put good options on the table and to feel good about that choice when they're in the position to do so, and to do so in a thoughtful and powerful way about how they take their next steps into the future. What is definitely true is that the landscape of admissions has changed, especially at some of the large and popular universities that for many, many years have been popular with Macaulay students and families. Now they are also very, very popular for students from other regions of the country and even around the world. So you have schools that, where a generation ago may have seen an applicant pool that was largely regional, seeing very, very large applicant pools from far outside of the state boundaries and even the boundaries of the country. The football bump is real. University of Colorado is experiencing that this year. They were way up in applications early after last year's success on the football side at UTK, and another of really high-profile successes that were widely covered in the news media, especially sports media. So UTK has become extremely popular and had got this year many more outside applications, applications outside of the state of Tennessee, many more than they'd seen in previous years. So UTK, that had a fairly predictable applicant pool in terms of in and out of state in previous years, suddenly has a massive growth in applications, and then are faced with how do we navigate that? How do they navigate that through the course of the year in admissions? This year is a big change in the state of Tennessee as well, because in August they announced that they were going to go to a guaranteed admissions, a guaranteed admissions plan similar to those in a couple other states, where if one meets certain criteria and apply, you're automatically admitted to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. So that has created another additional wrinkle for their applicant pool this year. So many, many more students applied from in-state who met those qualifications, and now they're faced with the question of how many of those students are going to come, how do we predict whether or not we'll have enough, say, dorm space for freshmen or advisors who are going to work with those freshmen. It's not uncommon for universities to have a period of time where they're a bit of a moving target, where they go from a fairly stable admissions predictability to something that's highly unpredictable because of new variables. So that may be because of football success. It could be because of a new introduction of an admissions policy like at UTK this year with guaranteed admission. It could be because of something in the news, either positive or negative, that really affects whether or not families choose to apply. So there's a number of things that can really push a school more rapidly through a phase of change when it comes to the admissions landscape at that particular school. We do consider it our job to keep tabs on that, so we know and we can help people navigate that and know what's a little bit more predictable or what's a little bit less predictable from one year to the next. And if we had a crystal ball, I suppose we would approach it differently. But we do the best we can with the resources that we have, which are excellent, to give us as much as possible an up to date picture of what's happening at the schools that are of high interest to our students and therefore to us.
All the changes in the college landscape produces uncertainty and anxiety, not just for students, but for parents as well. And obviously, you know, parents, I mean, they love their boys so much and want the best for them. I've got two children in college right now, so I remember over the last several years just the uncertainty and anxiety that would cause. Talk about how you and your office partner with parents in this process.
Got it. That's a fantastic question. And we understand that it can be a really big source of worry and anxiety. We do everything in our office to try to reduce rather than produce anxiety. That's a big thing that we say and we repeat often. And the ways we go about doing that include understanding and information. So on one hand, we know that this is a big change and a big step. And we are here to listen. We are here to hear the boys out. We're here to put them in the driver's seat, give them the gentle nudge or the stronger nudge if they need it toward getting things done, and also here to provide information for boys and their families around how they approach that process. So a couple things that we're really excited about this year are Macaulay's ability to support a financial aid education program. So we have a series of webinars where we have a lot more granular information specifically directed at parents of students, both approaching in and finishing out the process about evaluating possibility of scholarship and aid, evaluating loans and borrowing, making a decision, appealing for financial aid. So really going in deep into these questions that can be so worrisome around costs, and especially unexpected costs. And we are really proud that we have one of the foremost experts in this area that's very, very well known in the college admissions world to be partners with us in that and delivering those information sessions for families. We also are proud to bring college partners to campus in order to have parents hear from folks that are doing that work, that are sitting in the decision-making place as deans or directors of admission, and having that opportunity to, in person or via the web, ask questions of those folks to say what's really going on when it comes to colleges making decisions, or who gets a scholarship, or how does this work if I'm trying to figure out what the best fit is for me? So bringing in those resources that we know are trusted partners and both love Macaulay and know that we have great students and also are willing to put themselves out there to be available to answer those kinds of questions can be really good and helpful in bringing that information directly to families.
Mm-hmm. You know, Abby, we've talked about a lot of things that are changing in the college landscape. What is not changing?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. So one thing that does not change and will not change is that Macaulay boys have a foundation of character and values that they've built in their time at Macaulay. And that is something that they can lean on and find strength in no matter what the winds of change do outside of the school environment, what new variables there are in the process. When one is focused on one's own mission and values and what one is trying to do in service to the world, in service to the people that are around them, it naturally leads to good things. So we know that we can handle a degree of uncertainty and a degree of unpredictability, and we want the boys to be able to go boldly into that future that will for them change. They may find themselves in a career that they could not possibly have imagined when they were in high school. And as many of us know, careers that didn't exist when we were in college around technologies that didn't exist or questions or problems that we didn't know we'd be asked to solve or tasked to solve. So we want them to embrace to the degree that it is possible to embrace the reality of change and the reality that they will in their lifetime be confronted with taking what are their persistent and consistent values and applying those to a never-ending set of new things to encounter, which is exciting and fun.
You know, how beautifully said and how representative of what Macaulay is. We take these, your underlying, you know, foundational values have been part of Macaulay since 1905. And we, you know, foster those in our boys for them to go out into a world that's dynamic, that's different, whether it's college or career, and challenges that they can't possibly fully imagine or know how they'll turn out, but that they're well equipped for because they're men of character, they're men of honor, truth, and duty, who will then have the ability to go and lead and thrive in wherever they are. And just, I loved how you put that, and that's what to me is one of the things that's so special about Macaulay. Well, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for being in the podcast studio today. And as always, go Big Blue.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay Schools podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from you, our listeners, is what allows us to bring you these podcasts, and more importantly, to provide Macaulay students with a world-class education and to attract and retain the great teachers, coaches, and counselors that make Macaulay such a special place. Thanks for your support. And if you have comments on this podcast or any other of our growing number of podcasts, let us hear from you. Thanks for listening.